From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of August 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll take up the agricultural energies and the outside markets with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. Catch up on the crop progress reports released yesterday afternoon. The state statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska and Minnesota, the five top corn-producing states in the nation, will be here with reports from each of their regions. And we'll close out by discussing the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures were mixed. The nearby contract and the wheat up 15 and a quarter for the September at 671 and three quarters. December at 703 and three quarters, soft red 9 higher, and the March at 740 and three quarters up 8 and a quarter. Next year's July, the harvest month, at $7.66, rounded up the hires for 7.25 cents in the gain. The hard red in Kansas City settled July contract there at 801 and a quarter. Up, or rather, 801 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. September corn futures were 3 higher today at 678 and a quarter. December at 688 and a half, up 2 and a half. The March at 702, up 2 and a half. And the May at 707 and a half, up 2 and a half. The July contract for the corn at 710 and a quarter, up 2. September up 2 and a quarter at 661. December contract, here comes the mixed, down 2 at $6.21 for December corn of next year. Soybean futures, August contract, $12.98 and three quarters, 10 and a half cents lower today. September at 1293 and a quarter, down 11 and a quarter. And November beans, 1299 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. January contract, 1311, down 11 and three quarters. November beans of next year, 1277 and a quarter, down 12 and three quarters. August bean meal, $2.10 lower at 338. August soybean oil at 5303, down 79 cents. The Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished the August at 114.72 and a half, up 62.5 cents. October at 117.82 and a half, up 22 and a half. August feeders at 133.22 and a half, up 65. And hogs at $105.40, 47 and a half cents higher. Outside markets look like this on the afternoon. Nearby crude oil futures, $78.16 a barrel, down $3.16. Ethanol at 267 and 4 tenths, 9 tenths of a cent higher. Natural gas at $4 and 2 tenths of a cent, up 6 and 7 tenths. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 5 cents lower at $2.75. Gold futures finished at $1,740, up $29.80 an ounce, and the Dow down just 28 points now at 10,779. The dollar at 74.5 is down 0.2 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 316.12. That's down 1.62 for the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon says we have a 40% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms are possible. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 87 degrees. West-northwest winds at about 11 to 13 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way up to 16 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 59 degrees. Northwest winds between 7 and 11. They'll gust as high as 15. And then tomorrow, for Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high of just 77 degrees. North-northwest winds at about 7 to 9 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy. A low of 57. Thursday, sunny. A high of 79 degrees Thursday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 66. Partly sunny on Friday with a high near 82 degrees. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the area. Mostly cloudy and a low of 67. By the time we get to the weekend on Saturday, that chance of showers and thunderstorms will remain, but it'll be partly sunny for the most part. With a high of 82 degrees, Saturday night partly cloudy, a low of 63. Sunday mostly sunny, a high of 81. Sunday night mostly clear, a low of 61. And on Monday for the start of the next week, mostly sunny skies, a high of 83 degrees. That's a look at the agricultural weather forecast here on AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from willag.org. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd. Well,
the weather forecast is just magnificent. And while we didn't have much rain, we did get about a quarter of an inch here yesterday. How about there in Crawfordsville?
Well, we got anywhere from a quarter to an inch yesterday, sort of spread around the county, and that was greatly appreciated because we watched three or four of the fronts go by yesterday through the day, and they just looked like they were coming right at us, sitting on top of us, and they opened up and went around us, and it wasn't until midnight last night when we actually got our rain.
It feels good, but it hasn't done a lot of good yet in the field. We'll need a little bit more rainfall as the week and the weeks move through towards the harvest season, though I suspect much of the crop is already made or lost in your area. Is that right? For at least corn?
You know, we've got we got to hold the crop where it's at. We've got some smaller ears, some very small kernels in the corn over here, and we really need this rain during the month of August to help our beans come on because they need to flower a little more and set a few more pods, or we're going to be sort of disappointed with our bean yields also.
What do you think USDA will have to say when they report the crop production numbers on Thursday morning of this week?
Well, I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about whether they'll just count ears or whether they'll try to take into consideration some of the other factors for this report. I think, as you and I were talking Friday afternoon, that if there is denning in that, they will sort of look at some of the things. So I look for a couple bushel setback in the corn because of the possibility of being able to adjust that and not just using average ear weight. And the beans, though, I don't see them cutting back from where they were. You know, the crop ratings went up 1% yesterday, and they're looking at the rest of the weather for the month, and they're probably going to hold their own there.
And the trade estimates actually are pretty good size for beans. What, most of them are around 3.1 billion bushels, I think?
Yes.
And that's off just slightly, maybe 100 million bushels from the 3.2 USDA currently has on the balance books. So it will be down. Then we have the outside markets to deal with. They look like they've settled down just a bit for the day. You think it'll stay that way?
Well, you haven't been looking at the Dow since the Fed submitted their comments, and Todd, they have been all over the board. The Dow is up 94 now, but we dropped 150 points off the Dow in the first few minutes after that. It's been a very wild trade and trying to figure out what they actually said, but unfortunately, nothing that the Fed said was what I considered good news. They said they're going to leave short-term interest rates very low through at least the middle of 2013, that the unemployment number isn't going to come back as fast as we had hoped, and the economic world probably isn't going to grow as fast as they wanted it to, and the jobs. So a little bit disappointing, but probably very realistic.
Nice, Dan corrected. I guess I was thinking there weren't any 500-point moves in the market, but it has been moving quite sharply from one side to the other.
Oh, my gosh. But, well, just while we've been on the air here, we've had about an 80-point move in the Dow.
Well, she moves quickly, doesn't she?
Yes.
Well, what else do we need to talk about in the marketplace today other than, and in particular, should producers, and I've asked this several times, but should producers simply stand aside at this moment, waiting to get a better idea of what the crop size is and what their own crop size might be?
I think if they have made some sales and they were happy with what they have, I think that this is a time to wait through the report on Thursday and see what about the next weather forecast is going to be looking for their areas to what they have to produce. We are recommending to some of our clients, we're going to be long a few corn calls going into this because we do think that there's a good chance if the rain doesn't continue to fall across central Illinois and central Indiana that we could set back to Darrell's number closer to that 150 yield if we don't continue to see good rains.
Thank you so much, and we do appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Closing Mark Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a way to sign up for and or manage your account with us for the weekend newsletter. That's our Ag e-letter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. If you haven't already given us your cell phone number and you do this before probably midday tomorrow, we'll make sure that by the time Thursday morning rolls around, you will get a text from us with the latest crop production reports from the United States Department of Agriculture. USDA report day is really the only day we ever send a text to you, but it's an important day, and we're hopeful that you will sign up for our Ag e-letter and give us your cell phone so that we can text you those numbers on Thursday morning. Now, up next, crop conditions yesterday dropped just a bit, by 2%, in fact, with both of the top two ratings for corn down 1% to a total of 60%, good to excellent. By the way, the weekly survey has dropped corn in the two top categories by 9% over the last 4 weeks to the lowest level since the 2007 crop season, when that measure sunk to 56% in those same two categories. The largest declines occurred in Tennessee, Ohio, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, and Kansas, while Michigan, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and Nebraska had better crops this week than they did last week, at least for corn. Silking nationwide for the corn crop has advanced to 93%, with virtually every state at 80% or better. South Dakota is the only exception at 75%, and this year's pace happens to be equal to the five-year rolling average. Corn's dough stage of development projected at 32% now, the five-year pace at 38%. The largest soybean improvements this week occurred in South Dakota, Michigan, Nebraska, and Ohio. Tennessee, Illinois, Missouri, and Iowa all had lower ratings than the previous week for soybean crop conditions. Now, here are the state statisticians.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 7, 2011. The week began with the hottest weather of the season before returning to a more seasonal weather pattern. Fairfield reported the highest official temperature with a Tuesday afternoon high of 106 degrees, the highest temperature recorded anywhere in Iowa since July 19, 2006. Statewide, temperatures for the entire week averaged 4.8 degrees above normal. After midweek, rain dampened much of the state, with the heaviest precipitation falling over central, south central, and southwest Iowa, where high winds accompanied storms on Saturday, downing trees and damaging grain bins. The statewide average precipitation was 0.5 of an inch, or a little more than one-half the weekly normal of 0.94 of an inch. Topsoil moisture levels are rated 62% adequate to surplus, although this is the first week this season that topsoil moisture rated over 30% short to very short, with southeast Iowa showing the highest short to very short ratings. Meanwhile, subsoil moisture rated 73% adequate to surplus, down 5 percentage points from last week. With pollination nearly complete, Goss's wilt has been reported in some cornfields in central and north central Iowa. 67% of the corn crop has reached milk stage, ahead of the five-year average of 61%, while 19% of the crop has reached dough stage, behind last year's 34% and the average of 23%. Corn condition declined slightly from last week and now stands at 73% good to excellent. 95% of the soybean crop is at or beyond the blooming stage, and pods are being set on 69% of the crop, compared with the average of 76%. Reporters indicate soybean aphid populations have warranted spraying in many areas, with soybean condition at 75% good to excellent, down just 1 point from the previous report. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions. Once again, hot and dry weather conditions remain prevalent across the state. Isolated showers brought a little rain to some areas, but had no significant impact on the overall state conditions. Crops and livestock continue to show signs of stress due to the weather. Statewide, temperatures averaged 80.3 degrees, 6.6 degrees above normal. Precipitation across the state averaged 44 one-hundredths of an inch, less than half of the normal precipitation for this seven-day period. Topsoil moisture supplies declined for a third straight week to 18% very short, 37% short, 42% adequate, and only 3% surplus. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 2,169. And this total was 174 units, or 8% ahead of the historic average. Statewide, corn in the dough stage advanced to 56%, compared to 76% last year and 57% for the five-year average. 10% of the crop was reported dented, compared to 27% 1 year ago and 15% for the five-year average. Overall, the corn crop was rated in 50% good or excellent condition, down 3 percentage points from last week. Soybean blooming progress ended the week at 91%, and this compares to 93% last year and 88% for the five-year average. 57% of soybeans were reported setting pods, compared to 69% a year ago and 60% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 57% good or excellent condition, down 1 point from last week. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending August 7th of 2011. Wheat harvest neared completion along with the second cutting of alfalfa, while corn entered the grain field stage. Significant rains fell in portions of the southern third of the state, while east central and northeastern areas remained dry. Irrigation was active in most areas, and fungicide and insecticide applications were occurring where needed. Grasshopper numbers were becoming a concern in portions of the west. Some animal death loss had occurred because of the high heat and humidity. Corn conditions rated 79% good to excellent, with corn silking almost completed. One-third of the corn crop was in the dough stage, and dent stage had just begun. Soybean conditions rated 78% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming were 90% behind 94 average, and soybean setting pods were 50% behind 66 average. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 7th, 2011. Despite severe weather and heavy downpours in the northern and central areas on Monday, dry conditions and warm temperatures prevailed for the remainder of the week. For the week ending August 7th, some reports in southern areas mentioned the need for rain, while northwestern and central areas remained wet, with some crop damage from heavy winds, standing water, and disease reported. Producers continued to monitor and spray soybeans for aphids. Corn was 40% in the milk stage, compared to 52% average, and 8% in the dough stage, compared to 14% average. Soybeans were 88% blooming, compared to 94% average, and 48% setting pods. This compares to 67% average. Crop conditions generally remained unchanged from the previous week. Corn condition was rated 55% good and 19% excellent, while the soybean condition was rated 52% good and 18% excellent. Range and pasture was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 13% fair, 61% good, and 22% excellent. Wet conditions have made haying difficult in some areas. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending August 7th. Fast-moving, scattered thunderstorms brought little relief to some areas of the state from the abnormally dry conditions. Despite the rainfall, soil moisture readings continued to decline statewide, leaving most of the state very dry. The prolonged above-average temperatures and dry soil conditions raised producers' concern of stress to field crops. The topsoil moisture was rated 23% very short, 46% short, 30% adequate, and 1% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 2 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 97 to a low of 58 degrees. 93% of the corn crop has silked, compared to 97% for last year and 93% for the 5-year average. 24% of the corn crop is in dough, compared to 62% for last year and 39% for the 5-year average. Corn condition for the week was rated at 41% good to excellent, compared to 65% last year at this time. 80% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 93% for last year and 85% for the 5-year average. By area of the state, 86% of the soybeans have bloomed in the north, 77% in the central region, and 76% in southern Indiana. 38% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared to 72% for last year and 50% for the 5-year average. Soybean condition for the week was rated at 44% good to excellent compared to 65% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS field office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. This news note in, of course, from the CME Group, where the CFTC has approved the CME's request to expand the corn trading limit from 30 cents to 40 cents on a daily limit. That will be put into place on August the 22nd. If that was completely approved, and I'm sure it was, that will be a 40 cent trading limit with a move to 60 cents on the day after, or the session after the limit is hit. We'll follow up with more news on that when we talk with you tomorrow. On the phone line with us now to take up the agricultural energy markets is Stephen Platt with Archer Financial Services. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's start with the energy markets and talk about what kind of perils there might be at this point for ethanol producers. And in the next month and a half, there was some time where they were concerned about getting corn. Of course, the growing degree days, it's changed that just a bit.
Actually, the ethanol producers, just looking at the margins, are doing quite well. That source of demand should for the corn crop is going to be maintained. I think overall, the weakening just general economy, which has affected all markets and throughout the energy complex, equity markets, is certainly going to be something to watch. We've seen a lot of the refiners under pressure in terms of the equity markets, which has certainly been somewhat surprising given the strong cracks or margins that we've had for both gasoline and diesel or distillates by the refiners over crude. So I think that's certainly something to be watching as well.
When you discuss that, what does it mean to the marketplace? I'm not sure that I get
I think,
the full gist
well,
of it.
Certainly the cracks have been a big factor contributing to some of the strength to ethanol. And the gasoline has been holding up much better than the crude. If we start to see those trends change dramatically, which, you know, given the weakness we've seen to some of the refiners, which that would suggest, then certainly that could undercut the ethanol price as well.
Do you see a time at which in the next 12 months refiners will begin to think twice about blending as much ethanol into the supply as they have? And I know they have the mandate there, but they've been above that mandate for a while.
Well, certainly right now with ethanol showing a somewhat higher premium over some of the New York prices, that could certainly hit the ethanol usage rates.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, when we return, we'll talk not about the agricultural weather forecast, but hear from ag economist Darrell Good. You have a good afternoon.
It's National Watermelon Day. It's also St. Lydia's Day, patron of clothes dryers. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed from Spain on his first voyage to what he thought were the Indies. In 1801, Sir Joseph Paxton was born. Paxton was an English landscape gardener and a hothouse designer. He was the architect of the Crystal Palace at the Great Exhibition of 1851 in London. In 1806, Michael Addison was born. Addison was a French botanist who developed a system of plant classification based on physical characteristics. In 1811, Elisha Graves Otis was born. He invented the first safe elevator and opened the door to rooftop restaurants. His elevator featured an automatic safety brake, a spring-loaded bar that caught on the rails if the elevator cable broke. In 1914, the first ships passed through the Panama Canal. And in 1921, John McCready became the first person to crop dust from an airplane. He did it over a farm near Troy, Ohio, to kill an infestation of caterpillars. By the way, he also was a co-pilot on the first nonstop U.S. transcontinental flight in May of 1923. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, is out of the office this afternoon. So we'll hear from Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I instead. He's done some comparisons and run a few models depicting the crop yield potential for corn and soybeans around the nation, given the current weather conditions, and says it's not particularly encouraging. The growing season weather conditions in Illinois, around the nation for that matter, have not been the best this year. Still, it hasn't exactly been a unique year either. Ag economist Daryl Good and Scott Irwin at the University of Illinois looked back over the last few decades for some similar growing seasons. Good says they found a few.
Well, we've taken kind of a pretty narrow look at starting with just Illinois and tried to identify the years since 1975 when we've had July weather conditions similar to what we had this year, and ask the question, what kind of yield results did we get in those years? We really find 5 years that are analog to what we saw this year. And what you find is that yields are all over the board in those 5 years. And we use trend-adjusted yield, so we put the trend back in, recognizing that yields 30 years ago would be 60 bushels higher now than they were then.
Illinois' Daryl Good and Scott Irwin say that yields in those 5 years were all over the board, and that the variability within those particular years seems mostly dependent upon the August weather conditions.
If we had a cool and or wet August following a warm, dry July, we tended to do better on yields. If August stayed hot and or dry, then yields were well below trend. But on average in those 5 years, you find that the yield came in about 15 bushels below what we would calculate as trend yield for this year. So rather than 168 bushels, in today's technology, you found the average about 153 bushels.
That's for corn in Illinois this year.
And if you look at those 5 years for the U.S., now, weather conditions in the rest of the U.S. may not have been the same as in Illinois, but the correlation to Illinois corn yields to the U.S. yield was about 97% in those 5 years. What you found is a yield that was about 8.5 bushels below trend value for this year. So rather than 158 bushel, you would be somewhere close to 150 bushel if you used the average of those 5 years.
The Illinois economists disagree with USDA on the national average trend yield for corn and set it 4 bushels lower at about 158. Taking the 5 analog years into account, they're now projecting 150 bushels to the acre 2011 national average corn yield. That number is predicated on August being warmer and a little wetter than average. The 5 growing seasons that look most like this year include 1977, 1980, 1983, 1999, and 2002. When those same 5 years are used to predict the national average soybean yield, it shows something between 41 and 43 bushels to the acre. That's just below trend. The United States Department of Agriculture will release its crop production report on Thursday morning of this week. All the details online and on the radio at willag.org. You'll also find a calendar of events there. We'll be busy next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with Ag Outlook meetings in Tuscola, Shelbyville, and El Paso. Details at willag.org. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.